God hath allowed our golden years to roll on just a little longer, and for that we say, thank you, Lord. We are so thankful that God has blessed us to enjoy on yesterday a beautiful Christmas day, and I hope that everyone received what they wanted and what perhaps they gave to others. They were recipients of what they wanted. We are thankful to God to have the opportunity to worship Him in spirit and in truth. If you are outside the ark of safety, put your Savior on in baptism for the remission of sins. Rededicate your life this morning. Come and ask for prayer. And come and place membership right here at Fairview Church of Christ. Don't leave here without being on the Lord's side. We want to be saved and we want heaven to be our home. And you have that opportunity this morning. Brother Spice is beautiful singing this morning, leading the congregation, helping us to rejoice. Those who may be online heard a beautiful reading of God's word from Brother Heights and also a beautiful prayer going up to God on our behalf. So we have a service that's dedicated to the Master. And it's my encouragement that we obey what is right so that we'll be able to hear the Lord in the last day say, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servants. You've been faithful over a few things. Come, I'll make thee ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. What a joy to be when we all get to heaven. Am I right? Say amen. Amen. It'll be a joy. I want to encourage you, just as Paul encouraged two young men in the New Testament to go forth and to preach the word of God. Paul encouraged Timothy to go to Ephesus and to preach the word of God. Paul, an apostle, felt it necessary to deliver the message to those in Ephesus. And not only that, Paul encouraged the young man Titus to deliver the gospel of Jesus Christ in Crete. And I'm encouraged, just as Paul, an apostle, encouraged these young men. I'm getting older, but I'm still encouraged by the preaching and teaching of God's word. I think on last Wednesday I said something about Titus being an apostle. He's not an apostle. Paul the apostle is what I meant to say, is certainly the one that was encouraging. Just as the elders of this congregation are very encouraging and very uplifting. And I thank them for this opportunity that I've had to stand in the pulpit as we prepare for a new minister that's coming on board in the not too distant future. And I'm sure that those who stood here and those who taught on Wednesday did the same thing. They encouraged the congregation to lay hold on eternal life. And for that, we're very, very grateful. I'm going to call your attention this morning to Romans chapter 8. And the verses are 1 through 39. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 39. And in this discourse, I will give you some other scriptures, but we are basically going to focus our attention on Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 9. So I think everyone will be able to keep up with us this morning as we direct our attention to this particular discourse. And I'd like to encourage you with the subject, tell your heart to beat again. Tell your heart to beat again. Now, as we think about that subject, I have to encourage you to know where it came from. It came from a preacher that says that is very true. And what the preacher was saying is that there was an individual who needed a heart transplant. And that individual had fallen quite ill, just like a couple of members at the Church of Christ at Jackson Street. While I was preaching there, there were some members who needed to be the recipients of a heart transplant. And they had grown very, very weak. When I went to the hospital with them, they were barely able to walk back to the surgical area. They were very, very weak, and they were on the verge of dying. But thank God, a heart came along. And the story is told that this particular doctor had that heart in his hand, and he was cutting that patient with that scalpel, getting ready to replace that old worn-out heart with a new heart. And as that doctor surgically and meticulously did what was necessary to remove that heart, the doctor took the new heart and placed that heart in that cavity. And that doctor found out that that heart was not beating at that particular time. So he took that heart out again, and he massaged that new heart. He worked with that heart. He did what was necessary to get that heart to beat again. And finally, he hit it, and he did what was necessary to put it back into the cavity. And that heart still wasn't beating. So the doctor bent down, and the doctor told the patient, "I have put the heart meticulously and feverishly. I have professionally, with everything that I know in medical history, in medical school, I have placed that heart in this cavity. I have hooked this heart up to where this heart ought to be beating. And I have taken it out again and spanked it, and I have massaged it. And now I simply want to whisper to you, tell your heart to beat again." And somehow psychologically, somehow mentally, that patient told that heart prayerfully to beat again, and that heart started beating. The doctor had done everything he could to get that heart to beat, but that patient had to systematically and mentally tell that heart, you can beat again. And I'm saying the same thing in the Lord's church. Romans chapter 8 tells me that I can tell your heart and my heart to beat again. Why, Brother Crowder? I listened to Romans chapter 8 and verses 1 and 2, and the Bible says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death." When you receive a new heart and that heart starts beating, you have new life in your body. Those two recipients at the Church of Christ at Jackson Street who received that heart have been living now, one for almost 10 years with that heart, and he's doing quite well. The other one recently received his heart, and I don't think it's been a year, but he's doing much better. He's even preaching again. And I'm simply telling you that when you read Romans chapter 8 and verses 1 through 2, you should never, ever walk around with your head down, holding on to it. And when people say, "Are you saved?" "Well, I think I'm saved." Are you in Jesus?" "I think I'm in Jesus." "Are you happy?" "I think I'm happy." As a child of God, we ought to be rejoicing that we are saved, because there's no condemnation in Jesus Christ. You say, "Brother Crowder, you preach like you got a lot of life in you." When you know that you have been forgiven of all your sins, this is the way you can preach, and this is the way you can live. You don't have to walk around thinking that you are dead and on your way to hell. "I'm on my way to heaven." And you say, "Well, you're mighty proud. You're speaking mighty proud and mighty boastful." Well, 2 Timothy chapter 4. When Paul was on the verge of dying, he said, "I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Therefore, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all those who love his appearing. If Paul knew where he was going when he died, we ought to know where we're going when we die, and we should never walk around with our heads down wondering where we are going when we die. We ought to tell our hearts to beat again. Sometimes when I was at Jackson Street, I would walk into the congregation and I would ask somebody, how are you doing today? Well, I'm not doing well today. I'm just so down. And I say, well, are you seeing your doctor? Yeah, I'm seeing my doctor. I don't have very long, Brother Crowder. And I tell you, I just don't know where I'm headed. I don't know whether I'm going to heaven or hell. I've tried to live right. If you've been obedient to the word of God, you don't have to worry about where you're going. You might be worried about whether you're going to be living the next day, but you sure enough don't have to worry about if you leave this earth where you're going to spend eternity when you've been living in the Lord. And that's why I say, Lord, revive us again. Help us in the congregations and in the churches of Christ to feel happy about what we're studying and what we are obeying. Tell your heart to beat again. Be happy. Be rejoiceful. Be mindful that we have been obedient to the word of God. Look at what the Bible says in Romans 8:3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son. Boy, you ought to underline right there. God sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. He sent his only son. I tell you, if we only have one son, and if I sent my only son to die for sinful mankind, it would be something very difficult for me to do. I'd just be hurting inside to know that my son was going to suffer like Jesus suffered. Jesus was tortured. Isaiah 52, the Bible says his visage was so marred, unlike any other person on the face of this earth. I can tell my heart to beat again. I can tell my heart to be happy. I can tell my mind to be happy because Jesus loved me enough that he was obedient to his Father, and he came to this earth and he suffered and he died on Calvary so that we might have life and have it more abundantly, so that we can be happy in Jesus Christ. When I go to Ecclesiastes 3, I find a whole lot of things that we can do. There's a lot of liberties in Jesus Christ. And we need to understand that. There's a time for this and a time for that. And we need to understand that as long as we are living, it's a time for us to praise God and to rejoice in God. I'm happy. I'm excited when I think about what God did in sending Jesus and how Jesus suffered so much of a beating that he wasn't even recognizable. When I think about the fact that a crown of thorns was placed on his head. When I think about all the whippings that he received with spikes that tore his flesh, bone that tore his flesh. When I think about a sword piercing him in the side, even after he had died, I think about that humiliating death. But while he was being tortured and while he received those railroad type spikes in his hands and his feet, he looked up to his Father and he said, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. Folks, we ought to let the world know that we know what God did and what Christ did. And we should never be walking around like we are so humiliated or so down or so depressed because of sin. Sin has been taken away and there's no condemnation in Jesus. Verse number 4. We understand that the Bible says that life in the Lord is life because he's condemned sin in the flesh. For the Bible says the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be worldly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Boy, isn't that wonderful? Life and peace. I know that some individuals here don't go to the movies, but I do. I enjoy them. My wife and I enjoy them. We just saw a picture of Spider-Man, and we were just looking at that, and there was a little boy in front of us, and that little boy was just, oh man, he was all wrapped up in the movie, and he was looking at the different Spider-Men, and he was just excited about this, and Mama, why is he crying? Daddy, why is this happening? Why is that happening? And I was growing up, and people were telling me, you can't go to the movies. You can't go to the movies. It's sinful. And then I found out that liberty and life in the Lord helps me to know what movies to see and what movies not to see. And when I walked in and they said on the title that this was going to be a good movie, this was going to be fantastic, this was going to be wonderful, and I walked in and found out that it was worldly, I'd be on my way back to the ticket booth and they'd say, Mr. Crowder, here's your ticket. You come into another one, or here's your money back. They knew me. They knew that in living life in the Spirit, I was not going to allow anything to cause me to mentally be deplored, to mentally be taken away from life in Jesus. I wasn't going to fool around with filthy, dirty, immoral movies that could take my mind off of Jesus and lead my mind into worldliness. Because to be worldly minded is death. To be worldly minded causes us to end up in hell's fire. And what a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We've got to feed our minds good material so that we can be spiritually minded and have life and peace. Why, Brother Crowder? Because the worldly mind is enmity against God. It's foreign to God. It separates us from God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, you're in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have the Spirit of Christ, he is, the Bible says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, Christ is not in you and Christ is not a part of you. Brother, the Bible tells me that I have to have the Spirit of Christ in me. I have to be thinking like Christ, to be happy in Christ. Sometimes we look, and I appreciate those who are online listening right now, because some individuals with COVID as a part of life today are turning from channel to channel, and they're looking for services that are full of life, and they're beginning to go into some of those services because they for years have just been so depressed and oppressed by services that don't lift God up and help us to be happy. about being the children of the light. And I found that when I talked to some of our members and some of the individuals who are not members, that they are just surfing the channel. And you say, well, why are they doing that? Because they want to think more about Jesus, and they're letting their heart beat again, and they're not walking around suppressed. They're not walking around depressed. They're not walking around unhappy. They're excited about their new life in Jesus. I found that many individuals that I baptized at Jackson Street, they would come up out of the water and they would tell me, Brother Crowder, I've got to go back. I've got to work with my father or my mother. I've got to work with my family. I've got to get involved in the evangelistic ministry at the congregation. I've got to get involved in this work and that work. And I've got to do this and I've got to do that. In other words, they've been living in sin so long, they are now happy to let their heart beat again. And then over the years, I find when I say, would you do this in the congregation? Well, Brother Crowder, you know, I don't know whether I, you know, Brother Crowder, other people in the church, they're a little more qualified than I don't know. Where does the depression come in when we're still alive and we're still in Jesus? We ought to be happy to be children of the light. And ready while we are alive to participate, to get involved, to do service for the Lord. Romans 8 and 10. If Christ be in you, the body is dead to sin because of sin. But the spirit is life because of righteousness. If the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. It'll make your mortal bodies alive by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, the Bible says in Romans 8 and 12, we are debtors not to the flesh to keep living in the flesh. Some folk are depressed because they keep on living in the flesh. They keep on doing wrong. You can't be happy if you keep on doing wrong. How in the world can I be happy married to the one that I love if I keep cheating on him? Amen. How in the world can I be happy when I go home and I see our children when they were young, all dressed in beautiful dresses and beautiful suits and ties and this looking so nice, and know that I stole all the clothes that they have on and the shoes, running into a store and breaking things. My wife, she had on a nice piece of jewelry here, a nice piece of jewelry there, and everybody comes and compliments, oh, I like that necklace you have on, oh, I like that ring, oh, I like this, oh, I like that. And I know that I've run into a store, hit the glass, and stolen what she has on. I can't be happy living in the flesh. Brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to keep on living after the flesh. Romans 8 and verse 13 lets me know that we have life in Jesus Christ. Look at what the word has to say in Romans 8, 13. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do kill, mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Because of dying to sin, I've been adopted by God. And I'm going to receive everything that God is going to give me because he's promised through a covenant relationship, I'm going to give you this. I'm going to give you a street of gold. I'm going to give you pearly gates. I'm going to give you walls of precious stones and a foundation of precious stones. I'm going to give you eternal life. I'm going to let you live forever and ever and ever and ever. I'm going to sanctify you. Boy, what does sanctification mean? It means I've taken you out of the world and I put you into the Spirit. I have taken you into a place of where you can be saved by grace, unmerited favor. By grace we are saved. We receive mercy, something that we never deserved. The Bible says we receive redemption through Jesus Christ. I'm brought back to God because Isaiah 53 says sin has separated me from God. And when sin separates you from God, you can't be happy anymore living in the flesh. So the Bible says now we are glorified through Christ. In other words, we are going to receive glorified bodies, 1 Corinthians 15, when we have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you look at 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 50, the Bible lets me know that what sin did, now in Christ, I can be happy because I'm going to receive a glorified body. Look at verse number 50. The Bible says in verse 50 of 1 Corinthians 15, now this I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of the eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. And when that happens, the Bible says, when the corruptible have put on incorruption and the mortal have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? Oh, the Bible says, the sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your work is not in vain in the Lord. So tell your heart to beat again. Verse number 16 of Romans 8, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, adopted by God. I'm a child now of the King, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Whatever we're suffering and going through now, oh, one day it's going to all be over. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who have subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Boy, I'm so happy that there's future glory being talked about right here. We are saved by hope, the earnest expectation that God is going to do what he says he's going to do. We're never separated from God when we let our hearts beat again in the Spirit. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth with pain together until now. People are trying their best to find goodness. And we're hearing the world cry out. What's happening to the United States of America? what's happening to the world? Why are there so many murders? Why is there so much destruction going on? What is happening? Why is there so much hatred? Bible says the world is groaning like a woman who's in childbearing, crying out. There's got to be something different. And I'm telling you, there is something different. Jesus Christ made something different. He gave us salvation. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves are crying out for something different, groaning within ourselves, waiting for that adoption, waiting for judgment, to wit, the redemption of our body. I am looking forward. Don't get me wrong, and don't misunderstand my words. I'm looking forward to dying and making heaven my home. Brother Crowder, you say that you're ready to die? Yes, I am ready to die. Brother Crowder, do you want to die right now, today, tomorrow, the near future? No, I don't want to die today, tomorrow, the near future. But the reasons I want to stay on this earth are reasons that are somewhat selfish when compared to the glory I'm going to receive when this life is all over. I'm going to live to be a certain age. I don't know what that age is, but I'm going to die. Sister Keeble, who was the wife of one of the best known gospel preachers around, Brother Marshall Keeble, a man that did a lot for the Lord's church in bringing souls to Jesus Christ. Sister Keeble, they told me, was going to have a birthday party at around 90. And Brother Crowder, you really ought to come now. She's 90 years old. You know she doesn't have too much longer to live. 93. Brother Crowder, you better come. You know she's turning 93. Doesn't have very much longer to live. 95, 98, 99, 100. 108 years of age. Boy, did I attend a bunch of birthday parties. She going to die. She going to die, Brother Crowder. She going to die. God blessed her, but she still died. Yes, selfishly, I want to live here. I want to do the things that make me happy on this earth. I want to live for the Lord. Paul said, I can die or I can live for the Lord. I want to live and I want to bring souls to Christ, but I too want to die and I want to be able to receive eternal life where I'll never die. I want to enjoy the beauty and the glory that exists in heaven. I want to be with God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. No more sin. So the whole creation is groaning right now, but one day we're going to be happy. Romans 8:25, the Bible says, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it? I'm waiting for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh what we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I don't know everything I want to pray for, but the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is talking to God. Jesus is talking to God and pleading with God to have mercy on me and to help me. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Verse number 28, and if we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. In Jesus, through the calling of the Bible says, God with Jesus, he allows me to be glorified. one day, justified today, just as if I've never sinned, because Jesus was planned even before this earth to redeem me from my sins. So therefore, the latter part of this verse tells me, Romans 8, the Bible says 31 through 39. What shall we then say to these things? That we have salvation in Jesus Christ, that he separated us from the world, that he's made us glorified, and he's justified us before God, just as if we've never sinned, if we're obedient to his word. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies, treats us as if we've never sinned. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, and also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution or famine, nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are counted as sheep, for thy sake all the day long we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels or principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I am so happy that my heart can beat again, because I'm not going to let anything separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus my Lord. Jesus is the reason for the season. And as we get ready to go into 2022, make Jesus number one in your life. Be obedient to God. Come to him right now. He's calling us. He's given Jesus before time to bring us back to him. He's given Jesus to make us justified just as if we've never sinned. He's given Jesus to give us glorious bodies when this life is all over. Eternal bodies. Tell your heart to be again. Hear his word, Romans 10, 17. Believe in Hebrews 11 and 6. Repent of your sins, Luke 13 and 3. Confess Christ to be the Son of God, Matthew 10, 32. Put him on in baptism for the remission of sins, Acts 2, 37 and 38. And rise and walk in the newness of life, Romans 6 and 4. He'll add you to his church, Matthew 16, 13 through 19. The things that you used to do in 2021, try doing something better for the Lord. I never stayed for Sunday school. Try staying. I never, ever came on Wednesday night. Try coming. I really didn't study the Bible like I should have. Try studying the Bible more. I really didn't get involved like I should have. Get more involved now. Tell your heart to be again. Be happy. Stop being so depressed. Because you're going to hell. I ain't going to hell. I'm going to heaven. And I'm happy about it. And I get excited about it. And even sometimes you may not like this type of preacher, but this is the way I preach. I've been preaching like this for now over 50 years, and I'm not going to stop. I'm just happy about being a child of God. Tell your heart to be again as we together stand and sing the song of invitation. You need to come to the Lord. Come to him. Come to him right now.
Science calls, sweetly rings over land.